Hello and welcome to Vox Talks, a series of audio interviews with leading economists from around the world. I'm Viv Davis. It's the 6th of October 2014, and today's interview is with Philip Lane, Whateley Professor of Political Economy at Trinity College Dublin. We discuss the findings and policy recommendations of the 16th Geneva Report on the World Economy, titled Deleveraging, What Deleveraging? I began by asking Philip to explain what is meant in the report by the concept of leverage and why it matters.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of equivalence between the term leverage and debt. So we're really talking about the debt liabilities of governments, of banks, of corporates, of households. So it's a very wide-ranging concept. In some countries, the focus is on sovereign debt. In other countries, the focus is on household debt. You know, so what we're trying to do here is take a wide-ranging global perspective. It's a good question to ask, why does it matter? Because again, in many benchmark economic models, it shouldn't matter. Individuals or firms organize their balance sheets between equity and debt. You might think is a minor issue, and it shouldn't affect the level of GDP, the level of employment, and so on. So you do have to work at it in terms of modeling to think about why leverage should matter. But we're fairly confident that there's all sorts of reasons. I mean, one type of reason is crisis risk. If you have a lot of debt, and for some reason the debt market freezes or panics, then you can be put into a crisis situation. But even if there's no crisis, there's a concept of debt overhang that essentially it distorts behavior. Firm that has too much debt, you know, maybe it cannot make good investments because the bank fears that even good projects will be compromised by excessive debt. A government that has too much debt may be reluctant to do sufficient public investment. A household that has excessive debt may be tempted to hide its income, you know, in order to avoid making repayments. So we think it's one of these situations where the real world seems to indicate a lot of reasons why excessive debt can be troubling. But it's one of these areas where macro and finance have yet to catch up with that.
Okay. So you said it's a sort of global overview. What would you say are the key similarities or differences between the processes of deleveraging in the US as compared to the Eurozone and the emerging economies, including China? And what are we learning from those comparisons?
So in the report, we emphasize until 2008, the main issuance of debt was in the advanced economies. So across the advanced economies, Europe, UK, US, that's where the debt markets were very active. Since the crisis, especially since 2010, it's rotated. That now the surge in debt issuance is coming from emerging markets, especially from China. So in terms of who now is borrowing, that focus has changed. But for the advanced economies, we're emphasizing there's a big legacy. The debt that was accumulated before the crisis is still there. In the private sector, it may be the case that households are no longer adding to their stock of debt, but they still face the problem of how do they service that debt, how do they bring that debt down to a reasonable ratio over time. And then we also in the report contrast the US and the euro area. So if you like, we argue that in the US, households have been able to reduce their debt burdens quite often through the process of walking away from their mortgages, whereas in Europe that's much less frequent. Banks in the US have reduced the amount of debt because they've issued more equity, they've recapitalized, whereas only now in Europe is the recapitalization taking place. So we think one reason why the Eurozone has done worse in terms of recovery is the credit crunch. And in terms of credit crunch has partly been this slow response in terms of recapitalizing banks.
Okay, so you refer in the report to what you call a poisonous combination of record debt and slowing growth, which suggests the global economy could be heading for another crisis. Could you expand a little on that?
So if you go back to 06, 07, when a lot of debt has been accumulated, and then you look at the situation today, we think the capacity of individuals or firms or governments to carry debt has weakened. Because essentially, obviously, the richer you are, or the more quickly you think your income is going to grow, the more debt you can handle, because future income will provide the resources to service that debt. And we know with the debate on secular stagnation and other debates that there's been a slowdown in projections about future income growth. And that's the poisonous combination. High debt combined with increasing pessimism about growth rates and also about inflation rates. Again, if you borrowed in 05, 06, expecting, say, Eurozone inflation to be always 2%, and now it's coming in at less than 1%, then in terms of your ability to service that debt, there's a limit. You know, lower interest rates offset that to some extent, but the interest rates ultimately hit the zero lower bound issue. So, you know, the debt issue is interacting with these macro issues. And of course, one of the big questions is how much debt itself is contributing to this pessimism about growth rates of economies.
Okay, so what are the main policy recommendations of the report then, Phil? Because this is a notoriously difficult one to get right, isn't it?
Yeah, so we have, I think the report definitely goes through standard prescriptions, which I think everyone agrees on, which is making economies more resilient to debt. So, for example, having bankruptcy laws that mean it's possible for households and corporates, you know, to resolve excessive debt levels. You have a sovereign debt restructuring mechanism so that if a government is excessively indebted, it can be restructured in a not too costly way. Of course, we say, for the future, try not to get yourself into this situation. So having incentives or monitoring or policy making that leans against the wind and avoids excessive debt is a good idea. But in terms of today's interest rate policy, we're saying raising interest rates when debt levels are so high is going to be pretty tricky. So we're saying ECB, others should go quite slowly. Definitely go quite slowly in raising interest rates, because if you raise interest rates too quickly, interact with a high level of debt, you could ignite another crisis. For the euro area, we go further by saying, just as the Fed has expanded its balance sheet to help manage all the debt in the US, we endorse the current moves by the ECB through asset-backed securities, covered bonds, other initiatives that they have, and even sovereign QE. That sovereign QE may be necessary to provide the environment in which the private sector can delever. The paradox is that, you know, in order for the private sector to safely reduce its debt levels, the general public sector, whether it's the government or the central bank, you know, may have to expand its balance sheet on the other side of that.
Philip Lane, thanks ever so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
You're welcome.